Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and this week gone by has been indeed a period of intense activity, high energy, splendid colors, beautiful creativity and amazing demonstration of the love of the students for Bhagwan. The inauguration ceremony of the annual sports and cultural meet happened on January 11th in the Hillview Stadium, and like every year, it was breathtaking. And in fact, the impact this time was greater because as a special endeavor in this 90th year of Bhagwan's birthday, all the men's campuses decided to stage combined programs. So every sports and athletic and cultural item had students from all the campuses in it. Prashantinilayam, Vrindavan and Mudanalli. So it was a demonstration of unity in front of divinity. And what emerged was a grand performance. We could not do a live video webcast of this because of copyright issues with respect to some of the audios used in the program, but you could see the video of the entire program on our website immediately after the presentations concluded in the morning and in the evening, and it is available even now. So do enjoy these videos. The students and staff of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning put in tremendous amount of hard work for weeks to offer this to Bhagwan. And the spirit with which it is done shows when you see how the programs ultimately pan out. Even though they had practically less than 2 weeks to sit together and rehearse these masterly performances. I remember during the sports meet season in 2014, I had the chance to speak to one alumnus of Baba's University, Brother S. Srinidhi. And the reason I invited him to the studio for a conversation is this. Srinidhi has been coming for the last 6 years to Prashantinilayam during the sports meet season. You know why? To train the current students in March past. He is now in the armed forces. In fact, he got into this immediately after doing his master's in Baba's University way back in 1999. And when I asked him, Srinidhi, what has been your inspiration to do this year after year, to come to Parthi even after Bhagwan's physical form is no more there and spend 2 weeks training the boys here for March past? He said, the inspiration is very simple, Bishu. The education I got here has directly been instrumental in me getting into the armed forces. It might be a little surprising for a few people, but what Swami has established here, believe me, is in some sorts a military academy, but with a huge dose of spirituality. If we remove the prayer sessions and all the other sessions on a value-centric life, the kind of discipline that we have here, the kind of group love that we have here, is something that is what is instituted in the military academy too. And this training is what actually helped me to get into the armed forces. And then he went on to add how when one of the hostels was built, someone suggested to Bhagwan, Swami, let us have a bigger hostel with boys having the luxury of being in single rooms because there are people who are willing to donate that kind of money. We can build that big a hostel. But Swami did not show any interest. So they thought Swami is probably looking to reduce the budget, and so they asked Swami, can we have two boys in a room? Still Swami was not satisfied. Swami wanted 11 boys in a room with each student having a window, a cupboard and a chair for himself. In fact, that is how our hostel in Prashantinilayam is. This is true of all the campuses of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And Srinidhi said, let me tell you this, 11 boys living together in a hostel and helping each other is a great thing. This is precisely what is tested in the military selection procedure, how well you gel with people. We are actually put into a place where we are 10 to 15 people and we are evaluated secretly in a very indirect manner on various parameters, our behavior, how we feel for others, how we help others and so on. And these are things which just comes naturally to us because of the training in Swami's hostel. And he went on to add, there are so many other things this institute has given me which I have learnt incrementally day by day. And that has been instrumental for me to get into the armed forces. So for me now it is give back time, and I want to give as much as possible, and that is the reason why I come back year after year. I could not do it in the initial years, but now I have the chance to take long leaves, and this is one way I want to come back every year and give back to this institute, to my alma mater. Then I asked him, okay, but you can give back to the institute in so many ways. Why march past? Then he said, well, march past is my forte. This is something I am good in. But the most important aspect is that march past is what Swami loved. And I have physical evidence of this, he said. Swami continued to come and see the rehearsals of the march past till the last year of his physical existence. Only in 2011 he could not come, but until 2010, every year Swami used to come to watch the march past. In fact, that's true. Swami may or may not come to see any particular item or any stunt, but he would definitely come to watch the march past, and he would not just be there for 5 or 10 minutes. He would sit for half an hour, he would sit for an hour and more, and he would watch boys marching, and he would observe, and he would point out the deficiencies. He would point out deficiencies in individuals who are doing marching. In fact, he would not disturb them in the ground, but once they go back to the mandir, there have been so many occasions when Swami would pick out one boy and said, hey, you didn't do well, you were not in the line, or you were not putting all your effort in marching, and so on. And he said, and Srinidhi said, marching builds in you confidence, because you walk with a steady gait. Generally we put our head down and walk, but when you walk out into the world, what we need is a different walk. What we need is a walk full of confidence. And Srinidhi said, in military it is called esprit de corps, or love for the group. How this is built is simple. It happens by thinking together. Together, we start to achieve great things. When marching happens, the first thing that happens is that you start thinking together. You only do two things, left, right, left, right. So with that thinking, everyone is only on that thinking. 50 people are thinking the same way. If 1 plus 1 is more than 2, imagine 50 people thinking exactly the same way, what energy it can create. And he went on to add how in areas where there is curfew, where there is crisis, the military goes and does a flag march. And the flag march builds so much energy and awe that everything just cools down. The energy of doing things together, thinking together, walking together, growing together is phenomenal. And that is what march past is all about. And that is what Swami wants all his students to cultivate. Then I asked him, Srinidhi, you have been doing this for so many years. Tell me, what has been your experience of training our boys now? What is your perception of the quality of the marching done by the students here? You are a student, but now you come back after 10 years, after being groomed in the military. So how do you now rate the performance of the students here? And Srinidhi said, there is no doubt that our students do a great job. Though I won't hesitate to say that there is a gap between what they do here and the Republic Day parade that happens in the national capital on Republic Day on January 26th. But he said, we must understand that we are not directly into that. I mean, Swami's intention here is not to develop individuals to do only march past. The soldiers who do it on Republic Day parade in Delhi do only this. From morning 4:30 till 6:30, they are practicing only march past. But we are not doing such an intensive training. But given the fact that we have only 15 hours of training from Christmas to sports meet day, in 10 hours, what the boys do is phenomenal. It's a great performance. And Srinidhi went on to add, whatever students perform here, I would attribute it to two reasons. One is the students' love for Swami. They do it for Swami. They are driven by love. Another is Swami's grace. If you take one step, He takes 10 steps. And we have seen that enough number of occasions, and it continues to happen. And He went on to add how every sports meet used to be an experience of how Swami's grace works. When I asked him, do you remember any particular instance, he said, it was during 1995, this was probably the first time that the Vrindavan campus thought of doing the bike stunts. He did not know how to ride a bike, but he was very good in acrobatics, so he was selected to do some acrobatics on the bike and between bikes. So there was an initial presentation of what can be done by the military to all the boys during Christmas. So when they went to the ground and those instructors who had come, they asked these boys, when is your program? And the boys said, on January 11th, on January 11th. Then the instructor said, oh, okay, ek saal mein ho jayega, which means in 1 year you can do it. And the boys were surprised because the instructors were thinking that it is January 11th of the next year. And the boys said, this is not for next year. We have just 15 days, not 365 days. And then the instructor said, oh, forget it. We have been doing these stunts for years and we take minimum 6 months to learn to pick up these stunts. And we have one broken bone minimum inside our body. So they said, we just don't have the time and I don't think you guys can do it. But the boy said, no, please begin to train us. We will definitely be able to do it. And what happened is by January 6th or 7th, the boys were doing almost 80% of the stunts. The instructors were stupefied and they said they would want to come back to this university anytime because the way the boys picked up here is phenomenal. What they take 6 months to learn, boys here did it in 15 days. That is how Swami's grace flows during sports meet and for every occasion. But the sports meet is one, again, a grand demonstration of Bhagwan and His love for the students and what love that you can draw from Bhagwan when you have that kind of energy and commitment towards Bhagwan. This is the story of the sports meet. You can see the videos and the pictures on Radio Sai website. It is incredible. As they say, with God there is nothing impossible. Everything is Him possible. Because some things may be impossible for us, but nothing is Him possible. And the story of the sports meet is the story of this Him possibility that happens year after year. And on January 14th, you had the impressive prize distribution ceremony of the sports and cultural meet. In many years, this would coincide with the Sankranti celebrations, which is also called Pongal, and Swami would often give a discourse highlighting how to utilize this sacred festival of joy, because it marks the beginning of Uttarayana, the northern movement of the sun, and the beginning of the auspicious time of the year, according to Indian culture and belief. And Swami's directions during this occasion would be so insightful. All the boys would be assembled from all the campuses and Swami would take this occasion to tell them how to make a new beginning, because Uttarayana is a time to make a new start in our spiritual journey. Let me play for you one clip of a Sankranti discourse, because this is something very powerful, very beautiful, something for us to ruminate upon.
సంక్రాంతి అనగా సంక్రాంతి మీన్స్ ఉన్నత స్థితిని పొందేటువంటి యొక్క మార్గానికి ఉన్నతమైనటువంటి యొక్క దృష్టిని అందిస్తుంది.
సంక్రాంతి గివ్స్ యూ ద నోబ్లర్ హైయర్ విజన్ అండ్ ద పాత్.
దీనిని ఉత్తరాయణ కాలము అన్నారు.
దిస్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ద టైమ్ ఉత్తరాయణ.
అనగా మానవుడు మంగళకరమైన, శుభమైన, క్షేమమైన, ఆనందమైన, ఆహ్లాదమైన ఇలాంటి మార్గానికి పోవాలంటే ఉత్తరాయణ కాలంలో ఉత్తర దిశకు ప్రయాణం చేయటం.
Because in order to be blissful, and to have all these kinds of happiness, he should travel towards the north, Uttarayana.
Prakruti kudanu unnata sthitini lokaniki andinche nimittam suryudu kudanu uttara disha prayanam avutuntadu.
It's also the sun who moves towards the north.
Uttaramanaga emati?
What is Uttara north?
Himalaya parvatamu ani.
There in the north you have Himalaya.
Himachalamu annaru.
That's called Himachala.
Anaga manasunu Himachalam vaipuna prayatnam chuttamu prayanam cheyinchatam.
Direct the mind towards Himachala.
ఈనాడు హిమాచలం అంటే సిమ్లా అనుకుంటారు, అది కాదు.
టుడే వి థింక్ హిమాచల్ ఇస్ సిమ్లా.
ప్రాచీన కాలం నుండి వేద కాలం నుండి కూడాను దీనికి హిమాచలం అని ఈశ్వర స్థానమునకు ప్రబోధిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
సిన్స్ ఏన్షియంట్ టైమ్స్ హిమాచల్ స్టాండ్స్ ఫర్ ద డ్వెల్లింగ్ ప్లేస్.
హిమమనగా ఏమిటి?
దెన్ వాట్ సిమ్రాత్?
మన్సు.
హిమ ఈస్ ఐస్.
దీని రూపం ఎట్టుంది? చాలా పరిశుద్ధంగా ఉంటుంది, తెల్లగా ఉంటుంది.
What is its form? White, bright.
దీన్ని ముట్టితే ఏ విధంగా ఉంటుంది? చల్లగా ఉంటుంది.
If it touches, it's ice cold.
కాబట్టి పరిశుద్ధమైన ప్రశాంతమైనటువంటి హృదయము హిమాచలము.
Therefore, Himachala is pure, peaceful, pious.
హిమ అచలమనగా ఏమిటి?
What is అచల?
స్థిరముగా ఉండటము.
That which is
స్థిరించకుండా ఉండటము.
Motion
భ్రమించకుండా ఉండటము. స్థిరముగా ఉండటము.
Steadiness.
కనుకనే పవిత్రమైన ప్రశాంతమైన నిశ్చలమైన హృదయము హిమాచలము. మన దృష్టిని హిమాచలం వైపును మరల్చాలి. ఇదియే ఈ యొక్క సంక్రాంతి యొక్క ప్రధానమైనటువంటి యొక్క అర్థం.
Therefore, the inner significance of Sankranti lies in directing our mind towards Himachala that stands for all peace.
ఈ చర్మ చచ్చులతో ఉత్తర దిశను చూడటం కాదు.
Not looking towards the north with the physical eye.
మన జ్ఞాన దృష్టి చేత
with the vision of wisdom.
నిత్యమై ప్రశాంతమై
పీస్ఫుల్
పరిశీలించేటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వాన్ని మనము కొంతవరకు విచారించాలి.
We should inquire the spirit clearly that investigates.
అంతర్ముఖముగా వించేటువంటి దృష్టికే సంక్రాంతి అన్నారు.
So very clearly Swami says that the change that should come about is not looking outside in the northern direction, but going north in our inner vision. We have to elevate our thoughts and raise our consciousness to new levels. Then we can experience Him and feel one with Him. And once we begin to experience this, we will see that miracles will start happening in and around us and through us. In fact, one very beautiful miracle that Swami unfurled just after Sankranti 14 years ago is the magnificent mansion of love, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield. It happened on January 19, 2001, and just as I had mentioned, it is a miracle of pure love, and so many had the privilege of participating in it. It was absolutely a joy, a revelation, an opportunity and a timeless memory for each one of these individuals who were associated with this project. And when each one recollect these moments, they only marvel at the Lord's compassion. That happens on one hand, and on the other hand, you see the Lord's masterstroke in imparting so many powerful lessons through so many individuals. We got a glimpse of this last Thursday, January 8th, the Outside Inside Deep Inside episode, when I played for you the first part of the conversation with Mr. Rajan Sood, an eminent architect from Delhi, who had a significant role to play in the construction of this hospital. So today we will take off from there and listen to the second part, because this is very insightful, very powerful, and something which will leave you with many beautiful facets of Bhagwan's love, of Bhagwan's mission, and how He shapes His instruments to do His work. So this is what is in store in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And today, as I mentioned, we have Rajan Sood, conversation with this eminent architect from Delhi who had the opportunity to participate in the construction of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of High Medical Sciences, Whitefield. Little known, beautiful stories of Baba's Hospital. This is what we are going to hear. The Bangalore Hospital is going to celebrate its 14th anniversary on January 19th, 2015. And in this discussion with Mr. Rajan Sood, which I feel is so timely, is with me, Hari Shankar, who works in the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust and who has been deeply involved in the medical division of the Central Trust for many years. So here is the second part of our conversation with Mr. Rajan Sood.
Now, when you look back at that time when you decided that you would take up the study of architecture, and to see that, you know, the way it got fulfilled in this fashion where you could serve the Lord, like, did Swami guide you into taking up architecture at that time?
No, he did not. I was already... When I say no, I did not, it is like, as I know Swami, okay, physically.
Physically, yes.
But I'm sure somewhere, we all know that he has his plans.
Right.
And he's preparing little things everywhere and then bring everything with a bang together.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, probably, I studied architecture. It was a coincidence that I studied architecture. I was, soon after I finished college, I wasn't sure what I should do, like most of us normally are in the cities, little unsure. And my father said I was free to do whatever I wanted. And so just out of fun, I applied for architecture.
So something fascinated you about buildings?
Nothing. It is just that I said, okay, why not? There's an entrance examination. Let's prepare for that. And very strange now that you people ask me this question. I never pondered on this, but now I'll share this with you. That year, the only place I applied for admission was in College of Architecture. Nowhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Had I not been selected in that entrance examination, I would have lost a year. And architecture was nowhere close to my thoughts. Okay, it was just that, okay, another one place I can apply. But that became the only place I applied. So maybe it was Swami's wish at that point of time.
He was pulling the strings.
He was pulling his strings and... I got the admission, and I had a conversation with Swami subsequently when he was in Delhi, which wasn't exactly very encouraging. But I'd like to share with you that I was cleaning Swami's room, and this happened, I think, somewhere in either 77 or in 78. And Swami was in his dressing room. As he came out, I was cleaning the area around his chair where he would sit and maybe occasionally look at the paper or something. And there was a cushion for his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And the cushion had tassels in each corner.
Mm.
So what I did was I put the cushion next to his chair and I was just dressing up all the tassels perfectly in each corner. And he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Swami, I was just setting this right." So he came and sat down in the chair. So he says, "Pretty right." You know, kind of a bit of disgust.
Yeah.
So I said, "Swami, why? Was that not right?" He said, "No." And somewhere, I was a little hurt that I was putting in such a lot of effort trying to put things right, and he's saying, "No." And I said, "Swami, that's a part of my profession, to put things, everything in order, to make it look nice." He says, "Yeah." I said, "Isn't it a good profession?" He said, "No." Very curt reply, "No." And maybe that those were the initial years with Swami, so I had a lot of guts and the courage to reply back and fight. And I said, now when I look back, I'm surprised at myself that I could make this conversation with Swami. Mm. So I asked him, I said, if this was not a correct profession, then why did you let me do it?
Mm.
What could I do? You were already doing it when you came to me. This is the reply I got from him.
Oh my God.
So I said, if you had called me earlier, I would not have been doing this. And then he said something very profound. He says, time. There is a right time for everything. And that just silenced me after that. But it, yes, for years it did hurt inside when he said that I was not in the right profession. But he made good.
Yeah.
He made good.
Whatever you are, he knows how to make the best of what
Yes, and this had no reflection on the profession of architecture. This is strictly what he's talking of architecture and me.
Yes.
Me as an architect, me having picked up architecture as a profession. And not only that, that he chose me to the hospital in his own words. I have two daughters, and the elder one was in the 12th and the younger one was in the 9th, and we were sitting with Swami, and he asked the elder one, now what are you doing? So she said, Swami, I'm going to finish school. So school ke baad kya karta hai? So she said, Swami, whatever you say. And guess what he said? You do architecture. Okay. And then he asked the younger one, he said, what are you going to do after school? So she said something which Swami didn't like. She wanted to work for the UN because she wanted to travel around. So he said, no. You do interior designing.
Interior design?
Interior designing.
Okay.
And once both of you have finished, help your father in his office. His blessings, now both of them have grown up.
Uh-huh.
They're qualified in their field, as Swami had suggested. Now we are all working together in my office.
Wow. Amazing.
So it wasn't necessarily the profession, like I said, because he wanted my daughter to do it.
Mm.
So it is something to do.
I think this probably we will never know.
We just need to enjoy our interactions with him.
Yeah.
Questioning too much very often doesn't lead us anywhere.
But what we do know is, in wherever we are, I think whatever position we have placed ourselves in, he will make best of that situation.
He's come for us all, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you've chosen the profession wrong is no reason for him to let you go. Right? And the choice was not made by us either.
Yes.
So it is in the design of things.
In the design of things.
Yeah, the chief architect designing all our lives and putting them together and seeing how best he can make us worthy of giving his love.
Wow.
And how worthy can he make us of loving him?
Yes.
And like I said, I wanted to share something with you. One of the most beautiful things he said. So at the inauguration, suddenly as we were sitting in the audience, somebody came up to me, he says, you are required at the back. So I went there, and Ravi was already seated there, and they said, you also sit down here. So I sat down. And the function carried on, and Swami finished his discourse. And then it came that there are three people, Swami said, that we would like to give mementos to for having worked on this project. The first name announced was Ravi's. He went, and a silver bowl was given by Swami to him. So my turn came. And I took the Pad Namaskar, and as I got up, you know, Swami was standing at the podium. There were long length of tables at which all the guests were sitting. And they were very close to each other. As I got up, my head hit the bottom of the top of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody noticed except Swami. He was looking. And after me was C. Srinivasan, who was called. And what did Swami do? He kept his hand under the table. so that in case Srinivasan's head was to hit, it would hit his hand and not the table. Okay. The all the discourses, the so-called mementos were given, and Swami put his hand on the mic and turned back to the interpreter to say something. And he says, out of the three who were just given mementos, two of them are students of Swami's institute. First one is Sri Srinivas, second one is Rajan Sood.
Oh.
Wow.
You know,
beautiful.
It is, what a reward. What a reward. For Swami to think, or to Swami to have this announced publicly, that in spite of having studied architecture, I was still a student of his institute. And I think 2 days later, the hospital was well on its way, and he called us for an interview. There were a whole lot of people. And again, he introduced me to the public in the interview room in Vrindavan. And he says, this is Rajan. Raju. This is Raju. He is the architect of the hospital. And he is my student.
Wow.
And the first time, you know, I always wanted to know why. Because normally here, in common understanding, Swami's student is he who has studied in his institute.
Yes.
Right? So I looked up at him, and he says, he clarified. And he told those people, he says, he has come for every summer course since 74.
Oh.
Till the last summer course held in Vrindavan.
Wow.
And it's such a thrill for Swami to remember all this. And many times thereafter, he introduced me to people, my student. And there's a very beautiful story attached with this. I don't have first-hand knowledge of this, but I read it in one of Swami's books, that in one of the three sessions, one elderly lady was asked to talk to the boys. And as she spoke, she said, my grandson is Swami's student. What she meant was that he was studying in one of his institutes. Swami asked her to stop. And he says, no. He is studying in Swami's institute, not Swami's student.
Oh.
There was a line drawn between, I hope we understand what he is trying to convey.
Yes.
That one is being associated with an institute, but to be Swami's student, you don't have to be a part of the institutes. You could be anywhere, long as that sense of belonging is there.
Yes.
That is a revelation to me, because ever since he said, architecture's wrong profession, always felt, why was not a student in your colleges?
You always felt that?
I felt that. I missed it. I felt a loss.
Right.
That why was I never a student of your college? Wasn't to be, because there was no course in architecture in the college. So, but that day I realized, no, it was worth it. It is far more important to be his student. His student, where probably our lives are meant to study him.
Yes.
You know, to lovingly understand, or not even understand, just to be there. Who are we to understand? Just to be there and let him do with you what he wants.
No, but how many students who have gone through the education system in Prashantanalayam or Vrindavan get this appellation from Swami himself saying that he is my student.
I really don't know.
That is what I am saying. I mean,
I really don't
that,
know.
That is something which people who have studied here for 5 years, 7 years also would not have received. 12 years would not have received, but he gave it to you.
But I guess, you know, somewhere once you're standing in an institute, it's understood. You know, once you're not associated with the institute, it is not understood, and therefore, you are not a student.
No, but I think what Swami was making it very clear is, you may be a student of my university, that does not automatically qualify you to be a Sai student. At the same time, you may not be a student of my university, but you could be a Sai student.
Yeah, you know, if I go back into almost physical 40 years with Swami, this physical 40 years with Swami, there have been so many instructions in various ways, in you know, the way I wear my clothes, the way I have my hair.
Oh my God.
I cannot think of any part of my life where he has not had instructions to give me. They could be the most intimate part of my life. There was an instruction. And there was a correction. I guess that is what one does with a student.
Right? As long as you follow his words, his
learning,
teachings, his directives.
Learning things in classes and things, of course, everybody has to go through. But this, I feel personally, is what teaching and learning is all about. At the hands of your Lord. I can't think of any aspect of my life. No. Nothing. That either missed his attention, or he was not forthcoming with an instruction if it was wrong. Always.
So in that way, the divine architect, he shaped you as...
Still shaping. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to go, I'm sure. And, you know, I always feel, once Swami had indicated that in some way that this is not the only time that we have met.
Yes.
All right? That our association has been very, very long. In so many words, he said. He said, our relationship is very old. And then I look at myself and I see, hello? After such a long association, I'm still here. All right? How much more of this association has to extend before I can be where he requires me to be?
Right.
How painful must it be for him to slowly chisel out, you know, and for him to wait patiently for us to imbibe what he wants us to. What patience, man. What patience. No, we would all give up for effort. You don't want to learn, get out. No, it doesn't happen here.
He doesn't do that.
It doesn't happen here with him. If he is given an instruction, he will also make sure it is followed.
Yes.
There were times, I remember, when I would be, come here and I used to see some of the boys would get a lot of attention from Swami. And the next visit come and that guy is nowhere to be seen.
Right.
And it used to make me very upset that why does Swami do this? You know, so much of love and then suddenly nothing.
Correct.
And then one of the interviews, he answered himself. He says, and again, please, this is not for public consumption simply because it was spoken to me. If it was meant for everybody, he would have spoken out on the days. In his discourses, he would have said so. But what he said to me was, if I say something to you and you don't do it, what is the point of my talking to you?
Right.
Right? He says, why should I waste my time talking? You're not interested in doing it. I give up. So that I felt at some point of time, and then I've also seen in this span of time where Swami has given up on somebody, and years later, I find Swami bestowing such love on them. I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been such a revelation. Maybe they needed that time.
Yes.
to
reflect.
To reflect.
Yes.
Maybe all of us don't are not very receptive, don't yeah. immediately understand.
Yes.
That's right.
We need our own timing.
Yeah. There's preparation time too.
Yes. He gives you that time.
Yes, like that time when he spends with us, it's an intervention. And then you use it, you grow. And then again, you know, it's
yes.
time for him to...
I mean, not relevant, but there have been such amazing experiences on this that, particularly with some of the old boys
mm-hmm.
who were here and they had gone away,
yes.
and such touching stories of their return.
Yeah.
I was instrumental in some of them. He made me an instrument. And he'd come and tell me, oh, so-and-so's here. No, he says, one particular incident I remember, he walked up to me in Saikulanthal. He says, he's come.
Mm.
I said, who's come? He says, he's here. I said, Swami, who? And he walked away. Next day, again, he came up to me and he says, he's here. I said, who, Swami? So he named one boy.
Mm.
He says, he's here. I said, yeah, he's here. Swami's saying he's here, must be here.
Mm-hmm.
How would I know if he's here or not? Mm-hmm. I accepted it. Third day, again he came to me. And he says, he's here. I said, yes, Swami. Went away and then it hit me, you know, that if Swami is repeatedly coming to me and saying he's here, maybe Swami wants to talk to him. So I found out where that boy was staying. I walked up to his room and I requested him that, Swami has been asking for you. Please come. The boy didn't come. You know, maybe there is some part of us where we are scared to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But what will be the reaction? We are scared mm-hmm. to face him a second time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come. Fourth time, Swami again came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he's here, no? I said, yes, Swami. I met him. Achha. Walked away. As luck would have it, next day I got the first straw and I spread my mat and I went up to that boy and I said, go, that mat is lying there for you. Go and sit there. Swami is repeatedly saying, he's here, he's here. He wants to meet you as much as you would want to meet him. You know, how
perhaps
can...
more.
Yes, yes. I mean, imagine Swami asking repeatedly for one person, he's here, he's here. What more do you want him to say? That boy went and sat there. Swami came and materialized, gave him some vibhuti. And thereafter, I know, he's been a regular. I'm seeing him here in Prashantinilam almost every other year. And such bliss on his face. So he has his own ways. He gives you your own time.
I mean, we have no clue of his love. We have no clue.
No, we can't even, we can't even begin to imagine. Maybe that is why he gives us the experience to see a little facet of his love. Something that he cared to share with us. Who knows? Who knows what love is? We only understand little things, little gestures, a smile, a look. That's all we understand. Beyond that, how are we to understand?
Yes.
We have lots of limitations.
Yes.
We are bound by our own foolishness to understand that love. That generosity, that's always overflowing.
Mm.
Another time, another student I met in Delhi, and we were at the dinner together. So he started asking me, how are things in Prashantinilam? You keep going. I said, yeah, we keep going. You meet Swami? I said, yeah, we meet Swami. And in his conversation, I could sense that he wanted to come.
Mm-hmm.
So on my next visit, Swami called me and I said, Swami, I named the boy and I said, Swami, he wants to come here. Do you know what his reply was?
Mm-hmm.
He said, usko kaun roka?
Who stopped him?
Who stopped him from coming?
He's
always waiting.
Yeah.
He's always waiting.
He's always waiting, yeah.
He's always waiting.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes he says so. Sometimes he doesn't express it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there are times when I personally know that come and he says, kab se wait karta tha? कब से वेट करता था. अरे फॉर व्हाट, ऑल यू नीड टू डू इज सेंड अ मैसेज, आई विल बी हियर, राइट. कब से वेट करता. इट वाज नॉट दैट ही वाज, he had left everything, was sulking and waiting for you. It was just his way of making you feel that how much he cared.
Yeah.
How much he cared. If you love him, he loves you way beyond.
Yeah.
So it's just that some people are very fortunate to receive it directly from him.
Yeah.
And sometimes there is silence. But that doesn't mean, like we saw in the play yesterday, yeah, how beautifully it was put across.
Yeah.
That even when he is not physically communicating, he is communicating otherwise.
Right. Yes.
So, but I guess I'd rather that he communicated with me physically, no?
Yeah.
And have the beauty, the joy of just that physical association. Yes. Just to hold his hand, you know. You guys understand what I'm trying to say. And other things are incidental. I think he makes you worthy of something.
Yes.
To do, become a screw in the entire machine.
Yes.
So that he can get an opportunity to love you through,
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, yes, not that. A small example of the hospital I'll give you. 2 days before the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
One of the trust members came to me and he said, there was a lot of talk of a kalash, gold kalash that Swami would like to put on the main dome.
Hmm.
And eventually it was decided no, will be done later. And 2 days before that, the inauguration, the trust member walked up to me and he says, Swami has got a gold kalash done and that has to be installed. Please tell us how to do it. And my instant reaction was, I'm sorry, I don't know how to do it. 2 days, I can't. The matter was over. And on the day of the inauguration, I was walking towards the hospital, that kalasham was already installed.
Oh.
I was not required for that. All right? That sums up the entire story.
Beautiful, yeah.
We were not required for anything. It was only to pour out his love that all of the story was created. You know, we've all heard of this, that there was nothing.
Yes.
Then he created man.
Yes.
So that he could share his love.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we are seeing physically happening. He created all of us. And so there has to be a reason, you know, on a physical level to pour some love onto you, and to some to you, some
what
to me.
What a lesson to you just before the hospital inauguration is installed.
You were not really required.
Yeah.
It could have been done anyway. So, this a very beautiful story, something that I really cherish in my heart.
Wow.
That he cared. I think more than that, there is nothing. Just he cared.
I remember when this convocation dramas happened, Swami would spend so much time watching the rehearsals. I remember sometime in 1998-99, there was a drama on Swami Vivekananda and Ramakrishna Paramahansa.
Beautiful.
And Swami saw that drama at least 60 times. The amount of time that he gave coming and sitting among the boys, to me, I know the drama did not need that much of direction or that much of attention from him, you know. Just one session was enough for him to tell him what has to be done. The drama was just a medium. It was just a medium for him to do that chiseling process, for him to shower, for him to
love, to teach. Love. And through everyday activities, he would teach.
Yes.
And to each of us, it was different. You know, I always feel that post-2011, it was like we were all being prepared as students, now we have to write an exam.
Yeah.
Right? And this is one exam where you can't copy. Because every question paper is different.
Different, yeah.
Right? I can't look at you and say, oh, you're doing this, so maybe I can do it too. It doesn't work. It's a different question paper for every one of us.
Mm.
And we need to answer it in our own way.
You know, sometimes in school, the teacher would say, you know, they'd give an assignment. You do this assignment, I'll go out and come back. So I used to feel exactly the same way that Swami is doing this with us. So he's taught us and then he's left us an assignment to do. He'll come back.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's there guiding us through it.
Mm.
Exam is tough. It's very difficult. But, you know, like he did for his classmates, he would write their answers, remember? Yeah. He's writing ours too.
Only if you surrender. Tell Raju, I don't know.
All of us know in our hearts. He's writing for us.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
He's writing for us. He doesn't care for our reactions. If he cared, none of us would have been worthy of receiving his love.
Absolutely.
Right? This love was given to us irrespective of what we are, who we are.
Because no amount of gratitude can cover that, no?
Yes.
No.
The extent, boundless and infinite, nothing can reach.
Now, there's something you can only feel. You know, you can feel it in your heart that what you have received from him, it is beyond gratitude. It is absolutely beyond gratitude. I don't know if we actually even understand what gratitude is.
Yeah.
You know, how are we supposed to repay that gratitude? No idea.
Can you ever repay anything to him?
No. I did. Once.
Oh.
Once.
Yeah.
This was in 1976. I had left my home, bag and baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I always wanted to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to be his student.
Mm-hmm.
And so left my family, everything, mm-hmm. and Kenya.
You were doing architecture, you finished architecture.
Yes, I had just finished, I had written my final exam and left home. The results were not yet out.
Mm-hmm.
I reached Parthi, I was told Swami's in Vrindavan. I reached Vrindavan, I was told Swami's gone to Ooty. So followed him to Ooty, two and a half months, he came back, not in Ooty, the summer course in 76 was finished in Ooty, he came back to Vrindavan, I come back to Vrindavan, he's come back to Parthi, the chase carried on.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were in Ooty, I'd become so infamous that nobody would want to sit next to me, because they knew that if they sat next to me, Swami would not come there. So they didn't want to miss that opportunity. So everyone said, why don't you go and sit there? Anyway, so we came back to Parthi, and from the day I came, 2 months he did not speak to me.
And you have actually left everything and come for him.
Come. So there's a friend of mine with me, and two of us, both were architects. And we didn't know how to reach out to him. I, like most of us, know only he can reach out to you.
Mm.
You can never reach out to him. And to Summers. And those times there were no queues, nothing, there were sands. And there were no timings as such of going and sitting in the compound. So one fine day, you know, we were all the time counting our money, because whatever little we had, 2 months is a long time to survive without income. And whatever lunch we could gather, we had, and we sat in the compound. And it was really hot. Very hot. Sun was overhead. So Swami, from his room, from the top veranda, was walking to his dining room. He peeped over, only two of us were sitting. He peeped over the parapet, he saw us, went for lunch. On his way back, again he peeped and he saw us sitting. Now he was not supposed to talk, he's angry with us. So, through actions...
Oh my God, he's telling you to go.
He's telling us to go with his actions, with a wave of his hand. And I said, no. Go, you know, he kept persisting, go. Not in words, but by the way of his hand. And the both of us just sat on. So after some time, after a couple of hours, Swami came out with darshans. And he says, Gajab. I said, no.
Go home.
Go home. And I said, you know, Swami normally would converse either in Hindi or English, or most of the time mixed. So I said, no, I'm not going. Ghar jao. So I said, what is this? Mother kitna rota hai ki son chhod ke chala gaya. Jao.
Your mother is crying.
Your mother is crying that the son has left and gone. Alright. Next darshan. Both of us didn't know how to go back. No money. We were broke.
Oh my God.
So he came to me. Kab jata hai? I said, so there was somebody we knew in Puttaparthi, so I said, Swami, can you borrow money from them to go home? Kaiko, tumhara kya lagta hai?
Who is he?
How are you related?
How are you related to
this? I was silenced, I had no answer. Again, dispersed in the evening. No, the same darshan. Swami had taken people for interview. And so we dispersed. And after a little while, we were not allowed into the compound. I don't know what had happened that day. I don't exactly recollect. So we were sitting near the Gopuram. And that time, it was all sands. The Gopuram, yes, it extended like that. So yes, we sat there. There were about 8-10 of us sitting. And Swami emerged from the interview room and both his hands held behind his back and he was walking. And there used to be the Ganesha sculpture, yes, near the roundabout.
Yes.
He stood there and from there he motioned for me to come. So I went to him and he gave me an envelope. He says, here's the money for your tickets. And I said, Swami, but we could have bought it. He says, no. When I'm here, take the money from me. Half of it is for you, half of it is for your friend. Go home. So we went home. And of course, when we reached home, both our mothers were kind of... That's another one. Anyway, next visit, my mother and I, we came. And of the money he gave me, there was change left, a handful of coins.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought that when I meet Swami next time, I will give it back to him. And so, as we sat at his feet in the interview room, I fished out that packet from my pocket, I emptied it into my hand, and I offered it to Swami. And he says, "Ye kya hai? What is this?" I said, "Swami, this is what is left over from the money that you gave me." And in Hindi, he says, "Swami is not a munshi." That I'm not an accountant. I don't keep accounts of these things. Keep it. I still have that handful of coins with me that he had actually blessed by keeping his hand on top.
Again.
Yeah, cherished. So, I mean, there is so much to give without any return, even return of what he may have given us.
What can you give back to him?
Nothing. Nothing, only one thing that I feel that could work in your favor is obedience.
Yeah.
Hmm. Is strict obedience to what he has communicated to you as you understand.
Hmm.
Not as everybody understands, as you alone understand.
Hmm.
He may be talking the same thing to a group of boys. Each of us understand differently. But that is how we are meant to understand. Like I said, you can't copy.
Yes.
You can't copy. What you have understood is what he was trying to tell you. Maybe the other guy understood differently.
Mm.
So an implicit obedience in your understanding of what he is trying to communicate to you.
And that's what makes you a true Sai student. This obedience to what Swami says and that willingness to follow that path which is indicated.
Wow. Absolutely.
Maybe. I don't know. I really don't know.
And when I think about it, it is such a heartening feeling that we are having this conversation on the sidelines of the alumni meet. You know, this is the time when I would generally be having conversations with people who have come for the alumni meet with former students of Bhagwan's University. I had no clue that you actually are someone whom Swami has told that you are a Sai student and you are there for the alumni meet. And you attended all,
you know,
the
something very
sitting right in front.
I don't know. Now that I talk, I remember so many things which in some way pertain to this. And that is one fine year we are here at this time every year. So the alumni meet took place and the regular music and thing happened. And next day Swami called us an interview. And he says, "Kaisa tha program?" And I'm always pro-student, you know. Somehow there's an affinity. I can't express it. But there is some kind of an affinity with the students. Probably because of that, you know, the feeling that students are very close to Swami's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he says, "Kaisa tha?"
How was the program?
How was the program? I said, "Swami, it was very beautiful. And he again nudged me with his foot. He did that very often. Huh? Mm-hmm. He nudged me with his foot and he says, kya? Ek hi cheez repeat karta hai bar 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 bar. New kyun nahi bana ke lata? You know, what he meant was that they had in the program, he's not denying the fact that the presentation and everything was very beautiful. But the fact that why did they not come with something new? Mm-hmm. This has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
So that association with the students,
yes,
and that feedback,
yes,
actually had always been there.
Been there. Wow.
In little ways,
mm,
which were kind of, he made it known to me.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, you know, Swami's subject, the university always started its curricula with the summer course, which was Swami's subject.
Mm.
Summer course in Indian culture and spirituality was Swami's subject.
Yeah.
He started with that. And you were someone who attended that even before the university came into being in 1981.
So tell you something. That the summer course was, of course, Swami's subject, but also was a place to fish for hearts that would love him.
Mm. Yes.
You know, I can't even tell you my first summer course. He made me feel that if I were not a part of that summer course, the course would not have been held. And he was, I mean, I couldn't believe. Yes. You bat your eyes and he's there.
Hmm.
He's sitting next to you.
Oh my God.
You know, all kind of mischief. Mm. The guy's, maybe two seats ahead, he's sleeping, take his pen. You know, Swami, very on the sly, take his pen away,
mm,
walk away with it. And suddenly that guy wakes up and looking for his pen and things like that. And Swami's standing in the back laughing away. That is the kind of summer courses we had initially, which didn't happen ever again.
Mm.
Because by that, after 74 was 76, it went to Uti.
Mm.
And then the auditorium.
Hmm.
You know, 72 and all, they were within Vrindavan,
hmm, yes,
within the Swami's residence area at the back. So he would just climb down the ladder, the staircase, and he was in the classroom. Every morning, evening, he was there. He'd be, for bhajans, he'd be there and, you know, keep walking around and, oh, for breakfast he'd be there, for lunch he'd be there, for dinner he would be there, to make sure we were given the right food, that there weren't too much chilies. There were certain sweets we could not understand, were new to us. He'd come and explain how they're made and how there's specialities of Andhra and, you know, the kind of effort. And a very beautiful lesson, you know, we learned there, that we were from the north, not essentially rice eaters.
Mm-hmm.
We eat chapatis. It was tough for us to eat so much of rice. And over a prolonged period of a month.
Mm.
And very often there'd be stones,
mm,
in the rice. Because so many, 1,000 students to cook for breakfast, mm, lunch, dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and tea.
Mm.
The four meals. And I'm sure somebody must have grumbled somewhere, there's a stone in the rice. And one day Swami walked up to us. He says, yeah, there are stones in the rice. But have you ever counted how many rice you've taken in instead of the stones? Instead of counting how many stones.
Oh. He said that?
He said that to us. Have you ever counted how many rice have gone in? You know, we always complain of things that are unpleasant.
Mm.
The pleasantness we never bothered about.
Never bothered about.
So it was such a lesson for us. That, okay, why are we counting unpleasantness? Let's swallow it in, man. There's so much of rice going in anyway. What does it matter if a few stones?
Mm.
Every little thing was a lesson. Everything was a lesson. The examination, I remember. The last day we were supposed to write a paper, I didn't know a thing. I mean, we were there. But then, by then, that time, I think I had got addicted to Swami. So, the lectures didn't bother. As to wait that Swami would come and some kind of a situation he'd create for a conversation. And exams, I was zero. So, we had those chairs, which had a flap on one side.
Yeah.
Most colleges and schools would have, and that flap on the chair arm. You would put your paper or your book to read or write on. So we had those chairs. And so I went and sat down. I think I was in the front row. I was very lucky always to be in the front, not knowing anything. So I put the flap down, and I was reading the question paper, and I must have been reading very intently because I didn't realize what had happened. After reading, I just put my pen on the paper, and suddenly I felt something was happening. And, you know, like we are sitting now, I just looked down, and Swami was standing on my feet. I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe what had happened. And I looked up, and he's looking down at me and smiling. And he just walked away. I passed. Yeah, so, I mean, the summer course, I think, earlier ones. For me, it was how to find a way to reach him. Because at that time, there weren't so many people. There weren't crowds chasing him, and he would find ways to reach out. Very beautiful days. Very, very beautiful days. Anyway, I think that's not the context.
No, I think everything is in context. Because that is how the divine architect at least made you know that he is now working on you. Though he has been working on us since probably the beginning
of time. Actually, now that we're talking about 74 was the first time that I came for the summer course, although I saw Swami first time in 72. And towards the end of the summer course, Swami had already started in this train. There were three of us, this architect friend of mine who had left his home with Minka, and there was one boy from Calcutta. Because he was the only one from that state, or I don't know what had happened that time, but he was made to stay with us, with the Delhi group. Whoever came, he'd say, these three are my students. These three are my students.
Oh my
not
God.
Once, not twice. Any number of times, he would say.
Since then?
74.
Wow.
The first time he said, these are my students. So, and unfortunately, you know, I once tried to enroll myself in the alumni group, and I was refused entry. I said, okay, all right, I can be alone.
Well, he's made it very clear that you are his student.
yes, I know. To me, he did. It doesn't matter what others think. It doesn't really matter.
And he has ensured that you are here for every alumni meet. He's made it possible.
Every one of them. Because initially, I used to come here for months together, and he would be very angry. You're lazy ho gaya, lazy ho gaya.
Oh my God.
That you become lazy. Go back and work. And so, initially there was a trick. We would come, but wouldn't get a return ticket done. So whenever you found that Swami is now getting edgy that you're sitting, he would quickly run and get a tickets done. But then eventually he taught us, no, it was wrong. We should come with a set program and give our work as much importance as we do to coming here. Because to think that we find him here, yes, physically at that time, but he was always everywhere with us. So then we started getting a return ticket done, and then he would ask, when are you going? He'd check the date, so he'd make sure that the interviews were fitted within that. You know, not that he needed to ask again, as a parent would ask, ah, when are you going, or something like that, sir. And the way things went from then on, you know, he set it like we were here every 6 months for 10 or 12 days. That is permitted. That and during the course of construction of the hospital, there was the I remember while I was still here, we had Shivaratri. Okay, and so we were sitting on the doctor side, and Swami produced the lingam, and he was showing it around. It was a gold lingam that we'd all know about. And then he got up from his the chair, and he came towards where we were sitting, and he was showing it like that to everyone. And there was one very cheeky devotee. He called out of Swami's hand, and Swami angrily turned around. He saw his face and smiled.
Oh.
So we took the hint that, okay, Swami is smiling. That means we all can take the liberty. So I also, you know, stood on my knees next to Swami and I said, Swami, what instructions for me? From that smile, that anger returned. I'm really furious. Go back and work. She quietly went back and sat down. When Swami went in, I didn't even wait for the function to get over. I left. You know, he was that particular. He was that particular. You just can't think that Swami is here and keep sitting here for your lifetime. A, we need to attend to our responsibilities. B, besides us, there are so many others who need his time. We can't be selfish and grab the whole thing. You know, he's come not just for you, although he may make you feel like that. But look at the number of people he's supposed to attend to. And you keep sitting there and praying, Swami, me. Doesn't work.
And perhaps he also wanted that whenever you want him, it should not mean that you should just come to Prashanthi Nilayam.
Perhaps. That occurs to me now. But at that time we were very attached to his physical form. So Swami meant, okay, let's run to him.
Yes, I know.
You know? And but he was so readily available. I mean, I can't think of one time when we came and he was not there for us. Not a single time. Yeah, there was once, I remember, he spoke, but he didn't call us for an interview. It's a very disappointing visit. But well, we weren't happy enough that he spoke so much. No. But why did he not call us for an interview? You know, we were all selfish for his time, I'm sure. I'm sure we wanted him to indulge us. But then, it's his wish.
Then, as you mentioned, but now is the time to write the exam.
It is the time to write the exam. And he is writing for us. There is no doubt on that. I have no doubt in my mind. He is writing for us.
You can feel his hand guiding your hand.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Not just hand. I don't know how to put it, but I can feel him. I can feel his presence with me. Earlier, it used to be, something wrong, run to Parthi. You know, that time we had to wait for 6 months because he wouldn't allow us any more visits than then, unless there was an emergency. And you had to wait and then come and ask Swami and he'd tell you, do this, do this. This was wrong, you did this wrong. Theek karo, and things like that. But now you don't have to wait. You do, the reaction is instantaneous. His advice is there immediately. You don't need to wait for it. He's correcting you. He's guiding you. So that I think that limitation of form, much as we are still attached, I'd give anything to relive that time with him. But I think even this is beautiful. It's very beautiful the way he's taking this life for all of us forward. Being there for us. And being there immediately.
Yes.
Now there's no time lapse. You don't have to wait. It's amazing. It's amazing.
He's there constantly.
Yes. Watching. Better be good.
Wow. It's been such a journey for both of us. Hari Shankar and myself.
All three of us.
Very beautiful.
And going back to the inauguration day of the hospital, Swami had said on that day, while this building is imposing from the outside, it will also confer inner bliss.
Yes.
And he added, this hospital has a divine quality that will draw the whole world to it.
Totally.
And to be associated with it is really
a unique blessing.
A
honestly.
Unique blessing.
And let me mention something to you here that this is, you know, initially people used to bring back a lot of feedback to me thinking that I was the architect and I should know. Nobody. Most people don't even know. And I personally don't lay much importance onto that. And that time they would tell me that a lot of patients who would come, who once they've been screened and allowed admission into the hospital, they would feel so good just entering that hospital.
Yes.
You know, they would, some of them would feel okay. They're not unwell anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is His grace. That's His blessing.
So I would say that is 50% of the cure done.
In fact, the first patient who was treated in the Whitefield Hospital, Nagaratna,
yes,
a young girl from the Anandpur district. Her father is a typical poor Indian farmer. And when she was recovering, she said that it was like a family affair. I never felt that I was alone. Everybody was with me. They were concerned about me. And Swami actually went physically and blessed this patient.
He used to come so often in those at that time, in for the initial few surgeries.
Yes.
And I have personally seen him taking reports from the doctors.
Oh yeah, I think every day he used to ask.
Yes.
I remember that first year.
Yes.
Every day, because I was in the hospital the first year. Every single day he would ask
for a report.
Surgeries.
How many surgeries? How are the patients doing? How is so-and-so doing? How is so-and-so doing?
Yes.
What medication?
Yes.
What diet?
Yes.
Everything he would ask.
He inaugurated the dietary. I was there when he inaugurated the dietary department of the hospital. Yes.
He was in control all the time.
Yeah. Even now.
What I'm trying to say is he didn't make it that apparent. But he was in control of everything. On a physical level, we are not talking of the divine side.
Yes. Mm.
He was so in control.
Yes.
He was showing us what administration, how it is meant to be done. You should have your tabs on what is going on.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the very fact that I was coming and reporting to him almost on a monthly basis or every visit, it was not just that. He was keeping track of what was happening. You know, I may romanticize it, the kind of how he treated me and how much he loved me. But at the same time, everything was being checked.
Like a professional.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Like a project management. Achha, itna ho gaya, abhi next stage kya hai, kya karta hai, kitna time lagta. Everything he would ask. You know, if it was... If it was not a devotee and the Lord relationship, I would say he was a very, very good manager. An excellent manager, keeping track of absolutely every meal that was being put in there.
And we should remember that there were two other major projects that were going on
simultaneously.
Yeah.
Concurrently. Concurrently.
And he was giving... lion's share of his time to the students. He would come
also,
and chat with the students for 2 hours. I mean, just imagine someone who's actually...
There's a mathematical anomaly here. You add up the time, it will cross 24 hours, I'm pretty sure.
No, that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And when you were with him, the time, you know, it seemed like it was endless. The time was going on. You know, like Swami once said, about the Gita, you know, somebody in the interview questioned him. That Swami, such a large text,
right,
conveyed on the battlefield. What were the others doing, just waiting?
700 verses.
So he says, how long does your dream last? A few seconds. And yet, there is so much conveyed.
You can see 40 years if you like.
This was exactly conveyed to Arjuna, like it is conveyed in a dream, in a few seconds.
Right.
Wow.
It didn't take forever for those verses to be related to Arjuna. So there is a different concept of time.
Yes. Yes.
You know, scientifically, you may have gone through a huge, long, drawn-out dream. But scientifically, it was barely a few seconds.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Same thing Swami said. That is how Gita was conveyed. That is how we were all treated. You know, for us it was eternity, but maybe for him it was just a fraction of a second.
Yes.
That is why so many hearts were
touched.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing. Actually, I don't think both of us would want to end this conversation, but I just hope that, I know you have shared some things about the hospital, but the story I think is unending.
We could go on.
We could go on.
We could go on endlessly.
Yeah.
You know, his story. Our story is his story, no?
Absolutely.
So it could continue forever.
Yes. Yes. So all I can say is thank you so much, sir, and I should only be grateful to Swami, actually, because, I mean, the way he has arranged this to happen, and I personally I'm very overwhelmed, because, you know, talking to someone when we are having this alumni meet, and someone whom Bhagwan himself mentioned and sort of certified as my student, that is definitely his doing that we are having this conversation today. So thank you so much for sparing your time, and I know it's been 2 hours since we were talking, and I don't think there was ever a single moment that was dull. I don't think there was a single moment that was not interesting, and it is only because we are talking about him. So I just hope that we'll have the opportunity to meet again, because the hospital has so many facets to it. Bhagwan's healthcare mission has so much facets to it.
Yes.
And that is just one minuscule part of his entire story of love. And we hope we can meet again. We have started off on a beautiful note on this Happy New Year. And I hope we will meet again many more times and share Bhagwan's love. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for making me relive this. It is beautiful. Just to experience it again.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was the second and final part of the conversation with Mr. Rajan Sood. As I mentioned, he's an eminent architect from New Delhi and a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan who came to him way back in the early 70s. We recorded this conversation with him on January 2nd, 2014. He was here for the New Year Day, and as I mentioned, as if you've heard the conversation, you would know that it was a pleasant surprise talking to him on New Year Day, because New Year is the time when Bhagwan's students, the alumni, meet at his lotus feet, and Swami had so beautifully arranged for him to be here for every New Year. And Swami had personally certified him as his student. Even though he is not a student of his university, Swami always addressed him as his student, a title conferred directly by him. So he is an extra special alumnus of Bhagwan's university, and it was his design that we had this conversation with him during New Year 2015. The story of every instrument of the Lord is so wonderful, and we are just focusing on the medical mission of Bhagwan, and that to just one hospital. But we'll continue this beautiful discussion about this hospital next week. There are so many stories of his compassionate healthcare happening in so many dimensions, and I will bring you another facet of this saga of compassionate care, the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, next Thursday. So please tune in and be with us. Thank you so much for being with us throughout this day. And finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Dinalia.